At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Learner's Permit, Thursdays on my YouTube. Subscribe today.
The Night Pants Nation Tour is underway. Cleveland, you are up next, December 9th through the 11th. La Jolla, you're right after that, December 17th through the 19th. And Austin, we're kicking off 2022 down there, January 6th through the 8th. Get your tickets now at ryansickler.com.
Hey guys, Ryan Sickler here, and I just want to let you know that ringtones of my laugh are now available for Android. I don't know why you'd want it. I can't. It's beyond me. I do love it, though. I love hearing that you guys are scaring your kids and your animals with my ringtones. We listened, heard you, responded. Ringtones of my laugh are available for Android and Apple. All right, you get them everywhere you get ringtones. You can go to ryansickler.com and download the ringtones for Android directly.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Thank you again for your support on the Night Pants Nation Tour. We're rolling right along. La Jolla, December 15th through the 17th. Austin, Texas, January 6th through the 8th. I can't thank you enough for your support on this show. It continues to grow and grow. We've talked about a lot of serious shit. So please subscribe to the YouTube. And if you have a story or you know someone that has a story that has to be heard, please submit it for the Patreon show, The Honeydew With Y'all. Submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't subscribed yet, I promise you, you're missing out. I say it every week. We're solving cold cases. People are getting assholes ripped out of them. People are living in the wilderness, surviving in the wilderness overnight. People are getting brains blown on them. Where else are you getting that in comedy? It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free, and you get The Honeydew a day early, ad-free, at no additional cost. All right? It's all the information you need at ryansickler.com, and that's the biz, all right? You know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights, and we try to bring some light into that darkness. And today, no exception. This is going to be a different one for us, but I would love to welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. Please welcome back Hannah Dickinson, everybody. Welcome back to the Honeydew.
Thank you. A year later, you know, and just...
Is it about a year now?
Yeah. Keeps getting worse, huh?
All right.
We thought herpes was bad.
I love the people who haven't seen your episode yet. They're like, did she just say herpes?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have herpes. I don't know.
We're going to get into all that. But please promote, plug everything you would like.
I have a podcast called Don't Tell Mom, where I just talk about things that my mom gets upset about, which... And we talk about, like, bad moms, which I don't know if that's mean, but... Well, I'm really selling my podcast, huh? I have nothing to promote.
What about social media?
Oh, I'm at Hans Dickey.
Your fucking videos are the shit, though. I told
you.
Thanks.
Like,
look, I'm such a fan. I know we first met last year. You did your epic special, which you have... If you haven't seen our epic stand-up special, you should definitely watch it. And, I don't know. We clicked off of that, and I really just took to you and your story. And you came here very bravely sharing this vulnerable story about living with your parents during the pandemic, being lonely. You meet a guy who has genital herpes and does not tell you and gives it to you. And then you come here and share it with the world. And I told you the two funniest fucking lines I've heard last year were... Genital herpes is like a DUI for the pussy.
It really is.
And we did a show together the other night at the Comedy Store. I didn't even know you were on it. I saw your name. I was like, fuck, yeah, I can't wait. And you added the line, it doesn't stop you, but it slows you down. Yeah. And then the other one was, I caught the wrong virus. Everybody else is getting corona. You're getting general herpes.
Yeah, ventilators are looking pretty good right now. I shouldn't say that, probably, huh?
And you come out and you tell us about it, and you also make it so funny. And just, I thought it was a great episode because so many people deal with it. And, you know, you told me you were freaked out about it affecting you moving forward. And now you're like, oh, everybody's fucking got it.
Yeah, I have to say, I've gotten a lot of DMs from doing your podcast. That's probably a lot of people are like, I have it too. So,
want to hook up? Are you getting those?
Not really. Your fans are respectful, which is.
I love hearing
that. It's nice. They're always like, probably, you know, just very unlike some guys that are like, open your legs, you know, never from the Honeydew.
I love that. Good.
And, but yeah, I have to say a year and a half later, it's like you can only, it only affects you if you're having an outbreak, and I haven't had one.
At all.
No.
Good.
So I do regret telling the world for sure. Like, I should have kept this to my fucking self. And I found out this. I was like, why did I tell everyone? Ugh. And then if I start dating a guy and he's like, oh, you do comedy? I'm like, don't Google me. I'm like, don't.
Please
do
don't
it.
Watch that. Yeah. I do.
Because it's one of the first things that comes up, and I'm like, ah! He's like, I googled you. I'm like, okay, goodbye, nice to meet you. But yeah, and then I found out, like, I won't say names, but a big comedian has it, and they don't tell. I won't say what their gender is, but I'm like, they're fucking smart. They're out here talking about having sex. I'm telling the wrong stories.
You're not. You're being real.
True. And it hasn't really affected me anyway.
Well, today. And unfortunately, we're going to talk about some real shit, some very ugly shit. I see you at the Comedy Store, and I haven't seen you since the show, since we did the actual episode together, because you're in New York, I'm here in LA, and I was so stoked to see you, and I ran right up, and I gave you the biggest hug, and then what did you say to me? Since the last time I saw you, I went to rehab, is what you said.
Yeah.
I said, I know. I sent you a little message, but I didn't want to pry and ask why or what was going on. And then you told me the reason you went to rehab, and I just, yeah.
Yeah, I was, last time I was in LA, this was about 6 months ago. I was drinking the night before my birthday. And I got into an Uber with my friend, or what we thought was our Uber. He drops my friend off, and he takes off and rapes me. And then brings me back to his house. And I wake up the next morning in his bed.
This is what you're telling me before I'm about to go up.
And then I'm like, anyway, have a good set.
That is literally what it was.
I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta go on stage.
I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it was really scary. Anyway, do you have any water or gum or anything? Speaking of Uber, do you have gum?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, that's what you said to me because that's what fucking happened to you. And I was like, wait. And listen, I told you, I have a story that I've started telling recently on tour about being in an Uber with my friend. And I thought this guy was going to kill us. So I bring up. And again, I'm a guy. I'm not worried about rape. I'm not worried about somebody raping me when I get in a car or trying to fuck me up when I pass them on the street. My friends who are women are like, yeah, I worry about every guy that walks past me on the sidewalk because I know that guy could probably take me. And so I just said out loud to the audience, I genuinely asked how many people been in a rideshare, Uber, Lyft, whatever, and genuinely thought this person's going to kill me. And I thought 3 or 4 people would clap a night. And it's half the audience or more every fucking night. So there's obviously it's a problem with shit going on out there. So can you take us back to the night and how it all happens? Because you said a key thing you also said in that sentence, what we thought was our Uber.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess what's crazy is like I was going through a really hard time during that period, like 2 days before – Like, I was in a weird I got into a relationship that moved way too quickly. He started yelling at me all the time. And then he was supposed to go on this trip with me, my boyfriend. And he broke up with me, like, the night before I was going to New York to fly out with him. So I end up going to New York by myself and getting a hotel room because I'm, like, flying out to L.A. from there. And I take a bunch of mushrooms.
By yourself?
By myself, yeah. in like, Midtown. And I have, like, a really bad trip. And I call my dad. And I was like, I need to go to rehab. I'm in trouble. And then my dad was like, you know, he didn't, to be fair, he didn't realize, like, everything I was going through. I didn't disclose that.
He thinks it's just this moment you're having now.
He was like, you just got dumped. You need to go be with your friends from college. Like, you need to just relax. And he was right. I did need to relax. But, like, I couldn't relax. And then I came to LA, went to dinner with my friend. I was like, I feel like I'm going to die. And she was like, what does that even mean? I was like, I don't know. I just have this dark cloud. I felt like I was cursed or something. It was just a weird, like, I don't know. And she was like, you're taking too many mushrooms. That's what she said. And she was right. And then she was like, call your therapist. So the next day, I was like, the day before my birthday, I had an emergency meeting with my therapist. I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I feel off. Like, I feel like something's going to happen. And she was like, just chill. Just, like, relax. And that.
What are you thinking? Do you thought death?
Yeah.
You did.
I was
Why
like,
death? Why, like, finality? Why?
Because I had this anxiety that was like, if you don't change something, you're going to die. Like, the path you're going on, you're going to die. And I had been drinking a lot. I got into this really abusive relationship that I was, like, kind of letting happen. Like, he would, like, yell at me and I would make excuses.
About what? Just anything?
Like, he yelled at me because I scratched his leather couch with my backpack. He yelled at me because...
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No,
that's
shit like
that's
that.
That's crazy.
I didn't close the shower curtain after I used it, so I kept it open. And he said that's how you get mildew, so he yelled at me for that. I asked him...
Yelled, not told you.
What I fucking say! You know, just like shit like that. And I was letting it happen. And so I was treating myself like shit. And so I think it was just like...
Well said, by the way. I was even though he is also, I was treating myself like shit. That's important too.
Yeah, because ultimately I should have just packed my shit up and been like, fuck you, and walked out the first time he yelled at me. But I was like making excuses for him, which is only hurting myself. And it's really hard to do in the moment. And like, I have friends.
Yeah, we've all done that.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then I just watched the Brittany Murphy documentary. Have you seen that?
It, no.
Oh my, you have to see that.
I like her. She was always one of my faves. Super cute. Loved her in 8 Mile. Loved her in, what was the one with Angelina Jolie?
Girl Interrupted. Yeah.
I fucking loved her.
Yeah, she was so talented, but she got in this horrible, abusive, controlling relationship. And I'm not comparing it to Brittany Murphy, but it also didn't get that far. So it's like they start small and then. But anyway, he broke up with me. So I'm like, I didn't let it get that far. I didn't let it get that far. He told me to not come over. So
too much mildew on the shower curtain.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, it was. I asked if I could borrow gum once, or I said, can I have a piece of this gum? He's like, I told you not to ask me questions. Just use this apartment like it's your own. And I was like, well, I have been doing that. And you yelled
at me. Angriest, friendliest thing.
I was like, wait, you're mad at me for asking? Anyway, so I just, and then I get to the LA and I go to the pool with my friend before dinner. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, can I put my dick inside of you?
Whoa. He walked up and said that.
Yes. He's like, and people at the pool, because we were at this pool in Santa Monica, at this hotel in Santa Monica. It was a really nice hotel. That was my birthday gift, as my parents got me a nice hotel in Santa Monica. And this guy is so wasted, and he's like, you got that good pussy? And I go, actually, I do not. I have genital herpes.
Nah,
I swear to fucking God. And my friend is like, she looks at me like, you're going to engage with this guy?
And give him that.
He's like, oh, is that the one with the bumps? And I was like,
nah, you're conversating about it.
And I'm like, yep, that's the one with the bumps. And he's like, you taking that medication? I was like, I am. And he's like, don't take the medication. You got to open your pussy up to the sun and like let the sun rays like cure your pussy. And I was like, I'll think about that next time. Meanwhile, he keeps harassing me. And I was like, we have boyfriends. Like, you need to leave. and you think it's a crowded pool. You think someone would come in and help. No, and like, they're filming it. People are filming it. My friend was like, Hannah, we're going to end up on fucking...
That's what happens today, yeah.
And the thing is, they probably would have cut it to just me being like, I have genital herpes, you know, not like... I mean, I guess they could find that.
Yeah. 1,000 times. Yeah.
Which could be found anywhere, honestly, at this point, me saying that. But yeah, so it was like that day that happened. And also a week before, I was at a hotel in St. Louis because we were shooting stuff with Nikki Glaser. So that's why I was there for work. And the guy bringing me my towels, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't have cash, but I'll come and give you cash. And I went and got cash and gave it to him because I hate when people say like, So I went and made sure, went out of my way.
Kept your word.
I get home that night. He slips a note under my door that says, I think I have it. I put it on Twitter and it was like, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. I would like to come over this morning and eat your pussy. I swear to God.
Why can't guys stop at you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen?
And I'm like, you know, I love it. To an extent, like when I put it on Twitter, people were like, not gonna lie, he had me in the first half. And I was like, I agree. Like it started strong and ended with the smiley face with the tongue. I swear to God.
He threw a handwritten emoji up on it for you.
So that happened.
Let me put the little on the side.
Yes, the little thing.
Get the crazy.
It's so and I just felt like so that happened the week before. So then
your pussy's radiating something to have men come up to you like that and do that kind of shit.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I don't even have crystals. Like This shit, I need to get crystals. It was just like I felt like aggressive harassment. So it felt like I didn't feel safe anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then
this is all in that leading up to
that
this
was
moment.
Yeah, a week before.
And then you get this guy at the pool.
And then the next night, my friend has a date, and I was like, I'm just going to stay in. And then I, like, couldn't be by myself. I just couldn't. Like, I couldn't be alone. And my guy friend, I met him because he lived right around the corner. So I met him, and
he's
walked.
He's someone you've known.
Yeah, I've known him for, like, 6 years.
Okay.
And so we went and got a drink. And to be fair, I, at the time, wasn't eating at all. So, like, yeah, I just, like, wasn't really eating, and I was drinking a lot. So, like, my calories were, like, magic mushrooms and wine. And, like, that's what was in my system.
Okay.
And Valtrex, of course.
You don't have to, you know.
I know, but, you know, it's my that's what I'm famous for on here. So, got to stick to the hits. Stick to this. So then we get to the last thing I remember is us getting. So we're at drinking, and then the waiter, he's like, oh, it's your birthday tomorrow. I'll get you shots. And like, I've been like on and off sober for a while. And I was like, if I ever start doing shots again, that's when I'll get sober. That never works. It never works to be like, I'm not going to take shots or I'm not going to do it. Just always ends up spiraling.
What is it that you like about drinking?
I actually learned this in rehab about myself. They read my brain waves, and I run on such high anxiety, and my brain is always just, like, pushing itself, and not even in the best way. Just, like, always just worst-case scenario. Just so – I'm just such an anxious person that, like, he said it makes sense you're a binge drinker because alcohol slows you down and relaxes you. So your brain is like, this is good, and it can't stop. So I have no stop.
Okay.
And that's my issue.
You do feel more comfortable and relaxed when you drink?
For the first three. And then it's like, I mean.
How many would you say you have back then? A night, or is it just you say binge? So are you
binge,
Friday, Saturday, and then nothing for 3 days?
Or? Exactly.
Okay. So
it's like, sometimes I could have a glass of wine, but like if I have a glass of wine, I'll be like, oh, why'd I do that? You know, like it doesn't make sense to me to have one glass of wine.
Because why? Five is better?
It's just like, yeah, if I'm going to be drinking, let's be drink. It's so stupid.
I just want to understand the. Yeah. Mentality behind it. So if you're going for it, then go for it.
Yeah. And sometimes I could just have a glass of wine, but I usually like, it's usually once I hit three, like, I'm like, what's a four? Like, it's like in my brain cannot stop me. And I can't be like, and I've tried for fucking years. Like, I started going to AA when I was 23. Like, I've tried so many times to be like, stop at four.
Does it run in your family?
Actually, my parents and I just had this conversation because I asked what age as a kid was I the hardest to deal with, like thinking they would say 3 to 6. My dad was like, I would say it started at 21.
Started, he said. He didn't say just the age of 21.
Yes, started. My trouble when I was the toughest to them was when I turned 21. I mean, yeah. So my parent, I don't know. My mom is, you know, it was Irish Catholic family. So like, I feel my mom's not an alcoholic, but I think her grandparents might have been, or her, not her parents, but, and my dad's sister is a really bad alcoholic. She's sober now, but so I think it's just kind of luck of the draw, but it's in the family.
Okay.
And
so that night, I'm sorry, I wanted to know what it was about alcohol. So that night.
Oh, yeah. So that night, I remember the last thing I remember is taking a shot. And actually, the guy who I was with, we dated at one point. We went on like 2 or 3 dates, but we were so, we would just get so drunk that he was like, we're the worst combination of people. And I was like, yeah, let's just be friends. but now we are friends. But when he said that 5 years ago, he's absolutely correct. Because the next, you know, I go out with him 6 years later and this happens. And it's not his fault by any means. And like, he's equally a victim as myself, but it sucks because I'm the girl. So like,
now, do you think at that point you were slipped anything? Is there anything in that shot or in the drinks that you're having, do you think? And I don't even mean your friend. I mean, I remember it was a few years ago. It was in Santa Monica, and they caught a guy, and they were watching him just drop drinks, these bartenders and shit, you know? So do you think that you had more than you normally have and you got fucked up, or is there a chance that something was in your system?
It is possible something was in my system but I didn't drink that much. Like, I probably had 2 glasses of wine, a margarita, and a shot, which isn't a lot.
Two glasses of wine and a margarita, okay.
And over, like, maybe 2.5 glasses. But not, like, not a, I'm like, maybe 4 bottles. No.
Bottles.
But I remember being like, oh, I should probably eat more if I'm going to drink, and I didn't.
So you've got the magic mushrooms and wine from earlier, and you just continue with liquid diet the rest of the night. There's no food. You didn't eat anything.
No.
Okay. So and you have what you just told us you have.
Yeah. And then I remember leaving the restaurant, mm-hmm, and seeing this bush in Santa Monica. You know, and we're at 1212 Santa Monica, okay, or 20, whatever. And those like bushes shaped like dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, that's weird. And then I vaguely remember getting into the car, opening the car and being like, can we take my friend home? I can add it. Like, I don't remember like exactly what I said, but I remember him being like, oh, because my friend was like, oh, I'm going to go to 7-Eleven right there. And the guy was like, oh, don't add it in. I'll just take him.
Okay.
So he drops my friend off at 7-Eleven. And I vaguely remember my friend being like, text me when you're home. And I don't remember anything else. And I woke up the next day and I was looking at a wall, which my hotel had like a king bed in the middle of a room, so it wouldn't have been next to a wall. And I was like, holy fuck. And I was like, that's so weird. And I wake up to like a guy putting a blanket on me, because I was like kind of shivering. I had my top on from the night before and my pants were on my ankles. But like,
that's how you woke up?
Yeah. And I was, sorry if this is too graphic, I was on my period, so there was blood everywhere. Like, everywhere. I was on the second day of my period. So I woke up to a guy putting, like, a blanket over me, and I was like, what the fuck? So I look over, and I immediately recognize him as my Uber driver, and I sit up, and I'm like, oh my fucking God. Like, I was, like, about to have a panic. I, like, immediately knew what happened.
But
my body was in shock. Like, it was like, I couldn't piece everything together, but I knew we didn't go anywhere else. Like, I remember getting in this guy's car, and I also knew I was on my period. Like, I was just like, you know, someone would argue, like, maybe you flirted with him, whatever. This kid was maybe 18 years old. He was like 17, 18 years old.
You woke up in this guy's kid's house?
Yes. And so I'm like, I start like, I'm having a panic attack.
So this lunatic covering you up.
Yes. Based on the records, which I can get into later, based on my Uber, because I tried calling an Uber where he raped me, because he raped me in a parking lot.
And then in the car?
Yes. And then drove me back to his family home, dragged my lifeless body, probably with my pants and my ankles, into the house and put me in bed. And then the next morning is like, oh, this person that I raped in the back of my car looks cold. Let me just put this blanket over her. Like,
Jesus.
The separation of how yes. psychologically fucked up you have to be like, oh, this poor person, like, I should care for her.
Almost as if that guy's not the one that did that to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I woke up and so then I'm hyperventilating and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like, oh, don't worry about my sheets. Because there's blood everywhere. He thinks I'm worried about his fucking...
Right.
I'm like, oh, are they frate? Like, are you kidding? You think I'm worried about your fucking sheets right now? I was like, your room's a disaster. How are you not grounded? I was like, I'm furious. You think I'm worried about your fucking sheets? I was like, did you have sex with me? He goes, yeah, we had sex last night. I go, we did not have sex. I said, you raped me. And he goes, that was the look in his face. Like, yeah. Oh, fuck. Like, he was like,
he bet
have you seen
you
Promising Young Woman?
No.
It's a really good movie. It's on HBO Max. But it's kind of about that, how guys will be like, oh, it's consensual. And then when she would be like, I'm actually not drunk. What the fuck are you doing? They'd be like, oh. Like, that's what the whole movie is about, is baiting guys into thinking they're taking home a drunk girl. And the look in every guy's eye in that movie was the look in his eye, like, oh, fuck. And he was like, you have to keep your voice down. My parents are home.
So right away, he knows he's busted, and now
he's begging me not to tell his mommy that he raped me.
Are they in the house?
Yeah, he's like, there are children in the house. You have to be quiet.
Children are at home with – he brought you to his parents' house?
Yes. Literally, I was like,
what kind of house are you in? Do you know where the fuck – you're here in California. Where the fuck are you?
I'm in Compton, in a house in Compton.
No.
Yeah. So I don't know what this at this point. And so he's like, keep your voice down. And at this point, I'm kind of scared because I'm like, what if he has a weapon?
Yeah.
And so I check – I'm also wearing, which is crazy to me, a lot of jewelry that's expensive. I have a designer purse. And he doesn't – that's – I told my friend, I was like, he didn't even steal anything. She's like – that's a different thing to guys. And I'm like, that's so – I'm like, he didn't even take my bag. That's so weird. Plenty of opportunities. Missed opportunities here. Just so fucked up. But that also strikes me as like, oh, just because you're a rapist doesn't mean you're a thief. Like, and that's – it's not a universal you're
– just because you rape doesn't mean you're going to kill, steal. Yeah.
And that's why I feel so lucky. Is like, yes, I was raped, but like I had all my things. But anyway, so in the moment, so I'm looking around, making sure I have all my jewelry. I'm making sure I have my phone. I'm like trying to do it fast, but
are
I'm like.
Are you screaming? Are you?
I'm at this point, I'm not screaming anymore because he was like, keep your voice down. And I was like, what if he has a gun? Like, I don't know where I am. At this point,
Is he big? Was he a big dude?
No. He was like 18. Like, I hope. I'm like, am I gonna go to jail for this? Like, this kid's so young.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Am I gonna go to jail?
I was like, am I Chris D'Elia? Sorry. Wait, should we have to cut that? I'm like, fucking. I'm like, this guy is so young. Like, and his like posters and, you know, but I don't know where I am at this point. And again, I'm still processing what has just happened to me.
Honestly, I'm insecure about my skin. I mean, I'm insecure about the way I look for obvious reasons, but, you know, bags under my eyes, acne. I seriously thought acne would stop at like your 20s. You know what I mean? I can't believe I'm in my 40s and I'm still getting pimples. All right. So there's nothing wrong with taking care of your skin. And people who think skincare is exclusively for women, I'm telling y'all, you're dead wrong, dudes. Disco is a clean skincare brand based in Austin, Texas. All Disco products are created specifically for male skin issues like under eye bags, dark circles, acne, razor burn, oily skin, dry skin, and wrinkles. Disco products are easy to use, they're effective, and they're affordable. They take the guesswork out of taking care of your skin. Their Disco Repairing Eye Stick is formulated with caffeine, peptides, and moisturizer to transform those under-eye bags after a long night of partying, gaming, working, or whatever your vice may be. If you want to check out Disco and try their incredible skincare products for yourself, we have a special offer for our Honeydew audience. Go to letsdisco.com/honeydew or enter Honeydew at checkout for 30% off your first order. That's letsdisco.com/honeydew for 30% off your first order. Thank you, Disco. This holiday season, Everlywell can help you give more. By gifting an Everlywell at-home lab test, you're giving your loved ones more comfort, clarity, self-discovery, and joy in well-being. Everlywell offers affordable at-home lab tests that give you trusted, physician-reviewed results. Choose from tests including food sensitivity, metabolism, sleep and stress, thyroid, and so much more. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships your test straight to your door with everything needed for a simple sample collection. Return the test to a CLIA-certified lab with a prepaid shipping label, and then your physician-reviewed results and insights are sent to your device in just days. Over a million people have trusted Everlywell with their at-home lab testing. I personally did it. Exactly what they said happens. It comes right to your door. You take it. I did the food sensitivity test. Boom, a quick finger prick, a little drop of blood, off it goes. And I don't know, it was like a few days I got my test results back, and apparently I'm sensitive to ginger. That's what I found out. Other than that, I'm good to go. This holiday, give more of what matters with an Everlywell at-home lab test. For our listeners, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/honeydew. That's everlywell.com/honeydew for 20% off your at-home lab test. everlywell.com/honeydew. There is nothing better than watching your child's imagination in action as they unlock new ways of seeing the world. Little Passports offers award-winning play-based kits that fuel curiosity through fun, hands-on activities. They'll love the feeling of discovery almost as much as you'll love watching them explore. We got some. My daughter and I, Stella, sat down. We went to Egypt. That's where we want our little passport. And then we got to dig apart like little artifacts, and we got a little sphinx out of ours. We went to Japan. We made sushi. It's awesome. It's really cool. It's fun. It's easy. And I'm telling you, your kids are going to love it. Little Passports is the perfect gift for the little adventurers in your life. Here are just a few of the subscriptions you'll find. For kids 3 to 5, they have the Early Explorers Kit that ignites their imagination and curiosity with hands-on activities, games, stories that explore the wonders of the world from the deep sea to the dinosaurs. For kids 5 to 8, they have the Science Junior Kit that unearths new discoveries with activities investigating everything from how sound works to how rockets launch. And for kids 6 to 10, that's the World Edition Kit, explores new cultures, one country at a time, which is what we did, through projects, puzzles, souvenirs, and activities that spark a global connection. This holiday, give the young explorer in your life a world of adventure. Get 20% off any new subscription with promo code HONEYDEW at littlepassports.com. Order by December 20th for Christmas delivery. Free shipping is included. That's littlepassports.com, promo code HONEYDEW. Now, let's get back to the dude. And you're on your period. All these things are going on.
And it's my fucking birthday.
Yeah. And now it's officially your birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, you've woken up on your birthday there.
And so, yeah. So then I'm like, I don't know if I'm in an apartment or a house at this point. So then I'm like, take me to the fucking front door. I will scream like bloody murder. So he like takes me to the front door. He lets me out. And I like go through my phone. My phone's almost dead at this point. But I have a bunch of texts.
Do you walk past people in the house? Do you see
anyone? No, because it's at like 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. It's very, very early. And I have a bunch of texts for my birthdays, and my phone's almost dead. So I'm like, I'm literally in shock. So when people say like, when someone goes through something and they're saying what they did, like, oh, they found a dead body, or like, you know, and people are like, why would you do that next? Why would you do that next? When your body is in shock, you are doing nothing logical, because I should have written the house number down. I should have like marked, like taking a picture of the guy, taking a picture of the house. Like there's so many things that I should have done.
But the first thing is flee and get to safety.
Exactly.
That's the first thing in your mind, which it should be.
Yeah, exactly. So I FaceTime the last person who texted me, which is my friend who lives in fucking Wisconsin, which is so stupid. I FaceTime her, which takes up so much battery. But again, I'm just not thinking. And she, like, answers the FaceTime, is like, happy birthday, but then sees me. And I'm like, I literally look like Charlize Theron from Monster. My hair's everywhere. I'm like, and she's like, what the fuck happened to you? And I was like, I was just raped. And my phone literally dies.
No.
It dies. So I'm like, okay, great. I'm in the middle of fucking Compton. I don't
But do you even know where you are when you walk outside? Listen, the tall palm trees let you know what kind of neighborhood you're in around here. You know what I mean? The tall palm trees.
You know, when there's a car parked in the front lawn of a house, you're like, I don't think I'm in Bev Hills over here. They don't have HOA. Clearly, there's no homeowners. So I see a Shell station down. So I go off into.
It's still dark at this point?
No, it's light. It's early. So it must have been like 6, 6:30. Okay. It was light. And he lived off a side street that had like, that was on a kind of a main street to Wilshire or one of the biggest streets. But it was like a, so I'm just literally taking off. I'm sprinting. I'm like, I need to get to the Shell station. I need help. So I'm like sprinting to the Shell station. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like, how am I alive? I'm like, I'm literally fucking alive. So I go to the Shell station. I don't have a tampon, which I know is like, but I'm bleeding everywhere. I get to the Shell station and I'm like, can I use a phone charger? And the guy's like, no. And I was like, okay, can I use your phone? And the guy was like, no. And I was like, okay, I need help. I was like screaming in this Shell station. I was like, I was fucking raped. I was just raped. I need someone to help me. And he was like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't help you.
No way.
Yeah. So then I.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I like throw a temper tantrum and I'm like, fuck you. Like, you don't even know what it's like to be a woman. And then I leave and I leave my fucking phone there on the counter.
No.
I know. And I have, all I have are tampons because I bought tampons because I needed them. And I'm like trying to go, I walk down the street, I try to go to Jack in Box, it's closed. I try to go to another gas station, they don't have a, at this point, I'm like, can I borrow a phone? They say no, and I don't have my phone, but I just threw a temper tantrum in the Shell station. I'm like, well, I'm not going back there. I'm just going to get a new phone, fuck it. Like, at this point, I'm like abandoning everything. I'm like, I need to like talk to someone I know, like I'm losing my mind. So I get on the bus, hoping it's going to bring me towards Santa Monica. I get on the bus, and I'm like, excuse me. Are we going towards Santa Monica? And the guy looks at me and he bursts out laughing. He goes, Santa Monica? No. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And then another guy comes up to me and is like, excuse me. I think he was going to be like, I'll tell you how to get to Santa Monica. He goes, I just want to let you know you're beautiful. I was like, I swear to God.
You with the guys.
But it's like, and I know I sound like I'm bragging here, but it's always like, I wanted to punch him in the face. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I'm clear. I have like a twig in my hair.
It's the lunatics. You track the loonies.
Exactly. And so I just get off the bus at the next stop. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going the wrong way. I see a motel. I try to check into the motel because I'm like, if I can get a room at the motel, they have a phone in there. It'll cost me fucking $45 to make a call, but at least I can make a call. The guy's like, we're booked up. I'm like, what? How is this motel and fucking... So then I'm like, can I use your bathroom? Like, I need to put a tampon in. He's like, no. So at this point, I'm losing my mind. I literally pull down my pants in the middle of this fucking motel and I just put up my tampon in. Yes.
Because you did not.
Yes. I'm like, I have to. I literally need to put this tampon in. No one is helping me.
Are they saying anything to you?
No. Because of course, the people around me, they're going to the bathroom too. They're taking a poop next to me. So it was
good
just
point.
It's like... It's LA, like no one, and I was just so fed up and I had to solve one problem. I mean, I didn't fully pull it out, but I was like,
you,
you know.
I'm so sorry. My God.
No, it's fine. But
and
then
no one wants to help you.
Yeah. And I, you know, it just made me, it gives you a lot of empathy when you're in this. I mean, not that it sounds like so shitty that it took that to be like, wow, but... It was fucking, yeah. I mean, I looked like shit. I looked like I was strung out. Like, and I kind of was, you know? Like, I'd just been
not
off.
To the dude on the bus.
That's true. I was the apple of his eye. Okay, every trash, what's one man's trash? Is,
yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. But so I get back on the bus to go the other way because I'm like, I went the wrong way. And I was like, I think I remember a Starbucks. So I took the bus backwards until I saw a Starbucks and then I got off. I'm like... Starbucks will help me, and they did. They had a phone, and the only numbers I know.
Do you have to tell them you were raped?
No. I walk into Starbucks and it's like, I was raped. And everyone stops and then like goes back like a movie. No. I was just like, I really need your phone. And it was women at the, it was the first time I saw a woman and they were like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I didn't have to say anything. It's just mm-hmm. they could tell I was in trouble, yeah. which was nice.
The compassionate humans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, the only phone numbers I know are my parents or my high school crush.
Nah, you still yeah. have it memorized.
Yeah.
You can't call it.
Hey, Steven, how's your wife? Anyway. yeah, so I was like, who do I call, you know? Because I didn't want to have to call my parents on my birthday and say that I was raped. Like, I was just like, I don't know who to call because, but I was like, all right, I'm going to call my dad. And I called my dad and I was just like, I need you to call my friend, like, to pick me up. I was like, I was mugged. I told my dad I was mugged because it felt easier. And my dad was like, oh my God. My dad was like, oh, Hannah, like, what the? You really need help. And I was like, I know. That's what I've been trying to say. Like, I need help. Like, I'm fucked. Like, I don't know what to do. And I've been feeling, like, really lost. And, like, this is just another thing, you know? And so my friend came and picked me up. And
the
I
the guy from the night before?
No, my friend from college. So,
okay. So he still doesn't know this even happened to you.
No. So my friend, like, saved my life. Like, she came and she went and I was like, I lost my phone at the Shell station. She went back in and got it for me. And the guy had charged it for me, which was nice. But I'm like, where the fuck was the charger the first round? But it was nice that he charged it. And then, she gets in the car and she's like, we have to go to UCLA Rape Center. Like, we have to. And I was like, I don't want to.
And why? Why didn't you want to?
Because I was just, like, embarrassed and I felt I was in a lot of pain and I had, like, I was covered in bruises. I was covered in blood. I smelled, like, horrible. I didn't want it to be real. And as soon as you go to a center like that, it's real and it's documented. And
you're reliving it, the exactly. story over again and again and again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there is this thing of, like, whenever – it when after you know like when I got when you get I don't want to say the general you but when someone get when I got raped I felt like did I get raped like I did but it's like was it my fault it was my fault because I was too drunk again and I got into a wrong car because at this point on the way home I had called Ben and he was like I fucking knew that guy was sketchy he was like fuck like I shouldn't have fucking left he was like I shouldn't like he was blaming himself which is not fair I was like this is not your
he's
fault
like, did you call Steven
I'm like Steven where are you this would have never happened if you had just married me in high school yeah, so so we go back. I was like, can we just go back to the hotel? I just need to lay down for a second. Like, I just need to, like, compose myself.
Can we just say this? Because we said this before, you and I were talking, like, sure, did you drink too much? Like you said, yep. And could you have been, yeah. But none of that gives anyone else the freedom or license to rape someone.
Exactly.
Ever. If there's a woman in the back of your car and your job is to drive that lady somewhere, and her tits are out and her purse is scattered on your fucking seat. It doesn't give you the license to do anything to her.
And I think...
But so many people do.
And the problem is after this shit happens, the woman is always blamed.
This is what you were saying.
It's like, and look, I do have my drinking problem. Like, I'm not going to deny that, but...
But I also want to shed light on this part here because we're going to get into it. But this is a thing. I also had a friend of mine. I was a friend of a friend. I've mentioned this before. His wife went out with her girlfriends, had a girls' night out, and did the responsible thing, took a Uber or cab or something home. And then the guy dropped her off. But then the husband had stayed home. He was just upstairs chilling when she got back. And the cabbie or whatever, the driver waited for her to get to her front door, put the key in the lock, and then he tackled her from behind and attempted to rape her in her home there. But the husband was home and came down and fucked the dude up. And the cops then told them, this is a thing. This happens quite a bit. You have no idea how often this happens. So, you know, try not to get so fucked up and get in someone's car where you can't remember shit because you're easy prey.
Exactly. And it.
So who didn't believe you?
Well, it wasn't that no one believed me, but it was just
you
that
mean in general, this is what they do to.
Yeah. Like if you hear if a woman comes out that she's been raped, like a lot of times people will be like, she's doing this for attention. She like was too drunk. She was. Oh, yeah. But do you see her text?
She's wearing.
Yeah. Look at her Instagram.
Right.
And it's like. That's just not. It's so frustrating because. Even when I went back to, I had to go with the detectives to go back and identify the house. There was another call that came in about a girl who woke up to an Uber driver fucking her. And she was like very embarrassed and she was adamant that she did not want to go to the rape center. She did not want to report it because she was so scared her parents were going to find out, which is so sad because I
That's
know
the
that
two
feeling.
People you would want to find out, you would hope.
Yeah. It's like, but there's this fear of I was really drunk. I shouldn't have been in that car.
They're going to be mad at me.
They're going to be mad at me.
Because I should know better.
Exactly. And that's what's so sad is like, yes, no one should be getting obliterated like for their own sake. But it's shitty that it's like, you should have known better. You should have known that there are so many guys out there raping.
And your own mind does that to you, you're saying? You started feeling a little bit of that?
Yeah, because I was sober for like, I've been trying to get sober. And then before COVID, I was like 7 months sober. And I ever said, well, it's not like anything's bad. It's ever happened. Nothing bad has ever happened to me. And it's like, yes, bad stuff has happened to me. But then what I waited till this, like I couldn't fucking put down the fucking drink because I needed it so bad that I almost died. And I was just mad at myself because I do stupid shit when I drink all the time. I did. And I was, it like took it this far. Like, I always would be like, whenever I went to AA, I'd be like, well, I've never had a rock bottom like that. It's like, they would always be like, yet. And then here I was on my fucking birthday, just sitting in my own filth and after being raped by this kid. And I, so we're at the hotel. My friend took me back, but she's like, we're going to the rape center. And we're in the bed. I was like, I go, can't they just come here? I don't want to go. And so she called the front desk of this nice hotel. I was like, hey, do you guys have a rape kit?
Nuh-uh.
Do you guys have a rape kit? Like it's right next to the sewing kits.
And they were like, no. And she's like,
and then what kind of hotel is this?
You call yourself a hotel? I'm writing this in the Yelp review. No rape kit
at the hotel, for God's sake.
Yeah, so she hangs up and she goes, wow, I don't think I'm processing this right either. Because we're like, we still have that today. I'm like, I'll like text her randomly. Hey, excuse me, do you have a rape kit? Like, what?
Okay, how about the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah, so it just it. So
what happens? Can you talk about what it's like to go to this center?
Yeah, I mean the UCLA Rape Center. I don't want to be like it's lit, but like
I can't stand you sometimes.
I want to say it is such a helpful resource because
okay, yeah, that's a better
they,
way to say it.
You know, you have to get. I'm like. That was the other thing. This is why I need to go to rehab because I wasn't processing anything. They're like, we're going to give you a shot of penicillin. I'm like, do you have any extra for her? We're going out tonight. And and they're doing, you know, they have to take photos. So you have to like open your legs and they have to take photos of all the bruises and go inside with it just horrible. And I was like.
But for what you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, is for considering such a horrible experience, they do a good job.
Yeah. Exactly. You get free sweatpants. They're Hanes designer.
Are they really?
Yeah.
What do
you
they
get
say
free
on
no, Hanes?
Just Hanes?
Yeah. They don't say like rape center on the butt.
Victim number on the side. Like just this year. Like holy crap.
Like Squid Game, $7.75. You get jumpsuits. No, but they give you like fresh underwear and sweatpants, which is...
I thought they might just say, like, UCLA or something. No, they're the Bruins right
They're just,
right
like,
there.
Regular... Yeah. Okay. Regular old gray Hanes. But, yeah, bootleg cut.
Boot cut. You got joggers? I have them. I sell joggers.
Yeah, do you have any ones with pockets? They're like,
I need
no.
a back pocket. Yeah.
For my medications. But they give you, like, you know, plan B, and they give you all these things that you will need. Like, I had to take a pill for 28 days to prevent AIDS because I was like...
Okay, this is what I want to ask you. Yeah, what? Tell me all this stuff. So they give you a pill for that in case this guy had AIDS?
Yeah, so I guess basically they're like, even if he didn't use a condom, the chances of you getting AIDS are 0.01%.
Is that right?
That's what they said. Like, it's very hard. It's not through...
contact.
Yes.
It's through seminal fluids and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I'm not really sure.
But what about also, like, these guys are aggressive. What if they tear and you bleed?
Well, that's
you were already bleeding.
I was already bleeding. I had a lot of tearing. And they were like, the chances of this person having AIDS is, like, pretty small. And I was like, I don't know. I've had a pretty tough year. I think I'm going to go with the pill. I don't trust the 0.01%. Yeah, I think I'm in that as far as bad luck goes. Plus, I love taking pills, so let's just add it to the fucking list.
Oh my god!
They're like, yeah, the percentage is really small. I'm like, no, because yeah, of course. What are the odds that you get in the wrong car and someone, you know, it's like actually pretty high. But
I want to talk about that in a minute too, the whole scam of the wrong car thing. But
yeah.
But go through. So you had to take a pill for, they give you plan B as well in case you could be pregnant. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They give you a shot for gonorrhea and chlamydia. They give you a shot for that stuff. Nothing for herpes though, per usual. They're like, that was the other thing. My mom was like trying to be positive. She was like, oh my God, maybe you give him herpes. Like, ooh, maybe you ruined his life. Like, you ruined yours.
That's your mom's advice.
Yeah. And I go, can you not? I was just like, because my mom flew out, which was very nice, but we're like driving to fucking rehab in Arizona. We're in the car and she like, that's her big, I'm like, can we just listen to the radio? Like, can we just not brainstorm ideas how this is great? Like, but she, you know, my mom was really supportive, and I'm really lucky to have parents that I can tell and trust and that were there for me.
When did you finally tell them?
So I...
The truth, I mean.
Oh, about an hour later.
You did?
I called my mom.
I mean, that would just destroy me.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. It was tough. It's tough to tell your parents, like, you know.
But did they do anything you feared? Like, you should have known better, or were they very...
No, they didn't. They were really understanding. And they, I mean, they knew I'd been going through a really hard time. So it was like, and I've never been great with drinking. So like, but at this point, it's like, they were just like, you need help, you know?
But what you were saying.
Yeah.
You reached out for it.
Exactly. And like.
Who did you tell that day about the darkness and all that? Did you end up talking to them again because you thought you were going to die, but look what happened to you.
My friend who picked me up from...
That was her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, like, again, she, like, saved my life, like, forced me to go to the rape center and was like, you have to do this. Like, and if she wasn't there, I wouldn't have gone.
Okay, so this was when? December?
No, this was May.
May of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, this is only a few months back.
Yeah, but then, honestly, when you go to rehab, like...
6 months.
Yeah, I went to rehab for a month, which felt like a year, and time is frozen, and I learned so much about myself and my drinking problem, and like, also, it helped me process it so much because I was around so many, the rehab I went to was for mental illness and PTSD and trauma, so it wasn't just like addiction, which a lot of addiction comes from trauma and, you know, mental illness, and I have all that, so it was very helpful for me because I was around people who have been, you know, I had a very terrible situation. But then I met so many people who had been raped since they were a child, you know?
God.
And it's like, it gives you such perspective. And I'm like, I'm so fucking lucky. Like, I am so lucky at the end of the day. Like, and that's why I'm able to not drink is because, I mean, 6 months isn't a long time, but I know, like, I've always been like, oh, whenever I stop drinking, I'd be like, oh, I'll probably drink again, like, whatever. But this is like, I'm so privileged and I'm so lucky as a human, and my life is so great that, like, I was really killing myself, and I was taking full advantage of that privilege and thinking nothing would ever happen to me. And it did, and it saved my life. And he knocked me out.
He did? How do you? Okay, there's so many questions. Can I just say this out loud so I don't forget? I want to know what's going on with him right now, because I asked you if he's in jail or prison. You said no. I want to talk about the backup on these rape kits. I want to talk about the switcheroo with the Uber and shit.
Yeah.
But what you also just said.
So I think he knocked me out because I had two hand bruises, like holding me, like it would be like he was holding me like this, and mm-hmm. I had two very distinct bruises. And my head hurt so bad, and I had like a small bump, but I did not get a CAT scan because I spent literally 5-6 hours in the rape center waiting, and I was just like, I need to go home. Like, if I have a concussion, like, I don't know, but like, I just need to go to bed. Like, I just didn't want to go wait and then get my head scanned. So I guess I can't say for sure, but it's weird that I had like a bump on the back of my head, and then my mm-hmm. – so I feel like – I also had outgoing calls to 911.
You did.
And my ex-boyfriend from college, who never called me back. Never called me back.
No.
But he has a new girlfriend, and like, I don't think he knows this severe. I don't know. He has a girlfriend, so it's like, I called him at 1 a.m. Like, he didn't think I was like escaping. Like, he didn't know the situation, so I don't blame him at all. But
you did try to call 911.
I did.
Why couldn't they ping you and figure out where you were?
But all the calls I realized were like canceled or like halfway. They didn't go through all the way. So I think maybe I was trying to call and
he was stopping it.
Stopping it and then knocked me out. But I tried to call an Uber from a parking lot in Culver City at that point. So I think I tried to get away. And that's it put me in this random, and I looked it up and it was a parking lot. So I was in this random location in Culver City. So that's why I think he raped me in a parking lot, because I'm like, why was I there? And why were my outgoing calls like canceled at exactly the first 10 minutes of the hour, which is crazy. Like, it's just so insane that that's why when I woke up and I was like, I told my friend and who was with me the night I thought I was gonna die and like was there all day with me, I was like, I think I have a problem. She was like, I've known you for 10 years and like I feel, yeah, like you do. And it was like this weird moment of like, shit, like, fuck, I have to be honest with myself.
So tell me about this dude. Where is he now?
Probably graduation.
Oh my God.
Taking his SATs.
So he's not in jail. He's not in prison.
No, because
originally. Tell me about this system of the fucking rape kit shit.
So I didn't write down the address of the house, but I remembered it was between two houses. And then the first house, I thought, I was like, it's either this house or this house, because they look very similar, but they were two streets away, but on the same side and the same. And then they were like, we see your phone at this one. I was like, okay, that's probably it. And he was like, was it this car? And the detective sent me a name of a car, and I looked it up, and it was a white Kia. And I was like, this looks right. And then the slogan of the Kia was reliably fun. And I was like, maybe this isn't it, you know? I don't know.
Maybe not.
Either the Kia people are liars, or this is the wrong car. Because I don't think I had such a good time there. That thing. But so basically, the police were like, we want to wait until your DNA comes back, and we need to run it through the system, because a lot of times girls will go to the rape center to get the Plan B, the AIDS medication, the penicillin, all this stuff. But then when it goes to trial, they're like, I can't do this. I don't want to face him. I don't want it to be public. I don't want this to be public record. Like, they're just ashamed. But the DNA will still be in the rape system.
So that it's in the system.
Yeah.
So if it happens again,
exactly,
that person's identified.
Exactly. So.
And by the way, 18, I mean, you've either saved a lot of women from hopefully not having this happen again, or I wonder how many times he's done this already.
Yeah. So I know that they have DNA. They got DNA. That was the last. And I texted the detective yesterday after I was like, book this. I was like, we need to. I should text the detective, see what's up. And he was like, we still no DNA match results yet. And I'm like, can you just. He said they don't want to go knocking on the doors to the house because.
Why not?
Because he could go run. And I'm like, well, at this point.
And you'll know who the fuck it is.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
He's 18.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I mean, they're dragging their feet, but it's, yeah, rape kits are backed up 3 months.
God. Which so there's rapists literally walking the streets for 3 months before some of them get picked up.
Yeah. Well, also because the LAPD funding got cut. So people are like, oh, we did it. You know, we did the thing. We cut funding. They don't cut the Teslas, the guns. That shit does not get cut. It's overtime and rape kits. So that's what's being held up. And the detectives who worked with me were very kind. And they were like, look, we can't work overtime on this case. Legally, we cannot work overtime. Because they have cut our funding, we cannot work overtime. So that's what got cut. And as a result, it's like, I can't do anything about this. And I wasn't talking about it really that much. But at this point, I'm like, you know, someone needs to fucking help because I don't know what to do. And what am I going to do? Show up to the guy's house and, you know, fucking Charlize Theron his ass and literally? But all I can do is like trust the system.
And hope that they get a DNA match. But what if this is his first time? There would never be a DNA match, right?
Exactly. Then he said.
So then what happened?
Then he said he'd knock on doors. He's like, we just want to cover all grounds. All our grounds before we start knocking on doors. And I'm like, I think it's just a bitch to get like a warrant. So I don't know. I really don't. And
have
like,
you done your own detective work?
It's like so no, because I'm like, I need to work on like my therapy from it as opposed to like trying to get obsessed with it. And I was like very into being like, where are we at now? But by August, I was just like, if I put my energy into this, I'm going to get so frustrated. And I just spent a month in working on myself and going through deep therapy that I don't need to go backwards by. Because what can I do? I can't. It's not like I can put him in jail. And so as much as I would like him off the streets so he's not raping other women, there's nothing I can really do, unfortunately, but tell other women to fucking check the license plate.
Okay, so share this about the whole thing the police taught you, that this is a thing that guys or these people are doing where they the yeah. whole ride canceled. Explain that, please.
So the police officers were like, well, there's a good – they wanted my original driver who it says canceled. And I was like, why? He canceled. It wasn't this guy. And they were like, because what a lot of times Uber drivers are doing is if they have the same car, like a Toyota Corolla white, they'll pull up to a crowded bar like fucking 1212 or
and whatever. I see them outside at LAX, all of them. There's so many of them that look alike, Priuses, whatever.
Exactly. And then they'll see a drunk girl. They'll know she's drunk. They'll cancel it. And then they'll pull up right behind each other. So then you get into the other car and they cancel. And or they'll roll down there. And I don't know if he rolled down his window and said, Hannah, I can't really remember that. So I don't want to say. And I don't know if this is what happened. He might have just been a random kid who heard that you can do this. Just roll up to a club and pick up a girl. And so I don't know if the other driver was involved. But this is a thing that's happening.
We all know the struggle. Finding a gift for your special person that's practical and unique. Well, look no further. We absolutely love Enzo rings. They're stylish silicone rings, the perfect gift for anyone active or who works with their hands a lot. Look, here's one right here. I'm telling you, it's more flexible than I thought, way more durable. It's strong. Kirsten's husband wears one. I know a lot of guys back home that work with their hands. My buddy Shannon in the junkyard wears them. Enzo rings make a great wedding band replacement. They're so much safer, more comfortable than a traditional metal ring. Plus, Enzo rings offers a wide variety of styles so you can find your perfect match. Their Elements collection is infused with real precious materials like diamond, rose gold, platinum, and more. And their handcrafted collections mixed by hand so you can give a one-of-a-kind gift. All right? Trust us. Order Enzo rings today to get ahead of holiday shipping. Check out Enzo rings Elements collection and other bestsellers at our special URL, EnzoRings.com/honeydew. And for a limited time, you're going to get 10% off your first purchase of any collection when you use the promo code honeydew. Don't miss out. For 10% off, that's promo code honeydew at ENSORings.com/honeydew. Flu season is in full swing. Proper hydration and vitamins can help support a strong immune system. Are you going to be enjoying a few extra drinks now that the holidays are approaching? You probably are. So this is what you need. Liquid IV hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. I take it every day. Every day I take Liquid IV. Tangerine's my favorite. They just sent me another one now for a sleep aid that I'm going to start taking. I will tell you how that goes because I'd like to sleep. Watermelon's another good one. And I'm telling you, they've got right now, especially with the vitamin C and everything in these, they contain 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. They're healthier than sugary sports drinks. There's no artificial flavors or preservatives, and there's less sugar than an apple. It's made with clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan, and free of gluten, dairy, and soy. We keep them here at the studio for our guests, all right? So grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you get better hydration today using the promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. By now, you've probably seen about 1,000 gift guides for the holiday season. Gifts for moms, gifts for guys, gifts for your neighbor's cousin's dog. You could study all those gift guides and shop at 10 different places, or you could start your shopping at Raycon and get a gift everyone will use. Raycon wireless earbuds. You guys know I love my Raycons. I travel with them. I exercise with them. I wear them when I walk. My stepson stole the other pair, so I had to get 2, all right? I love them. Raycons give you an amazing audio quality wherever you go, whether you use them to pump up, wind down, to work, or work out. With their latest model, you get 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. Pure Mode is podcast listening, where you should be listening to the Honeydew here. Blues, instrumental. They've got a balance mode that's rock, heavy rock, and metal, and a bass mode with hip-hop, EDM, and reggae. Raycons are available in 5 stylish colors, so you can pick a perfect one for everyone on your list. With free shipping and returns, gifting is easier than ever. The holidays are coming up faster than you think, and now is the time to knock out that gift list and avoid the last-minute shipping scramble, especially because right now, my listeners are going to get 15% off site-wide with code HOLIDAY at buyraycon.com/honeydew, all right? Again, go to buyraycon.com/honeydew and use the code HOLIDAY, because it's the holidays, y'all, today, to get 15% off your entire Raycon order. Buy raycon.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
So when I, you know, the day it happened, my other friend texted, I was texting her about it, and she was like, I'm going to connect you with my friend who this happened to like 6 months ago. So I talked to this
other. So already you're meeting people that have had this
experience. Already, yeah, exactly. And I get another text from a friend. Oh, this happened to my friend. My mom said that her friend's daughter, who they didn't tell anyone because it was like the daughter was embarrassed, like it happened to her. And so the girl that my friend connected me to, she said the same thing. Well, the same thing happened to her outside of Delilah in Hollywood. But she said she had 2.5 drinks and she had flown from New York and it was like 2 a.m. So she like fell asleep against the window. And she woke up to the guy having sex with her. And she punched him in the face.
Good.
He grabbed her phone and he tried to steal her watch. And it was like a Cartier Rolex or one of those watches. And she like punched the shit out of him and ran to a house and got help. But then she did the kit. She went to trial. That guy, his DNA was linked to like 5 rape victims in Chicago.
Holy shit.
And maybe like 2 more in LA. So he had gone from Chicago to LA and his face. So they put his face on the news and then more girls came forward. So his DNA was linked and then his face on the news, more girls came forward. So I can't, yeah, it was like something. Anyway, so she was like, it's so good you report it because this is happening like every single day.
So there's a chance, just let's talk statistically here, this kid has no fucking DNA in the system. And now he does. So if he never rapes again, he could get away with this one.
Mm-hmm.
If he does, 3 years from now, you could then see his face or whatever it is when they get this guy and be like, oh my God, that's the fucking guy.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's a chance he could get away with this.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. And
it's almost like you get one free rape if you're a man.
Yeah. That's
how
it feels.
Isn't that fucking insane? That's what it sounds like the system says to a woman. They get one free one. Hopefully he does it again and then we can help you.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Exactly. And the guy was like, well, you know, even if we, even with all the DNA and when we go to trial, it is a lot of he said, she said. And I was
how? With DNA, how the fuck is it he said? What, you mean that this guy could say you were, it was consensual?
Yeah. But I'm like, also, I mean, I was with a friend who, my friend, I have a witness who he dropped off and was like, there's no way. And also my bruises and just, there's no.
Tearing, your injuries.
Exactly.
I mean, also, your second day of your period. That's not that common for people to want to just fuck in a parking lot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things on your side here.
Yeah, and it's just like, I when he said that, I know he said that because he had to, and it's true, it is he said, she said, but I was like, it sent a chill down my, I was like, he said, she said?
I was raped.
Literally. Like, and not even, and that's the thing is like, there's a difference between, like, my friend goes, wow, you were like raped. And I was like, yeah, because it's like there's the rape in college where you're like, no. But he's like in a frat and like his dad has a boat. So it's like fine. But then there's like get fucking picked up, knocked out.
Knocked out.
And fucking raped. And
to be taken back to his home. Like, why? What do you think that's about?
You think
he really thought he could pull off this was consensual and you got fucked up?
Yeah, I think
instead of just leaving you out on the side of the road somewhere or drop you off somewhere?
That's why I think he was young. Because I think, you know, it's like they say that kids who like kill little animals, they'll grow up and kill people. It's like a sickness that grows and is progressive. And I think he was young and was like, I don't want to kill this person, but I can't, you know, who knows if he gets off, like what's he going to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
And
what, how many other victims in that 5 years?
Exactly. And it's just like, all I can say is, and the thing is, I can say like, be careful, but I was a drunk bitch. Like, I get it. It's like, you think like, oh, I'm getting into this. We have been conditioned to be like, oh, I'm getting into someone's car. It's fine. It's on an app. But like, when you're drunk, it's just, there's, you don't think to check the license plate, you know? And like even before.
I do. I always check make and model and license plate.
Well, now I do. Yeah. And I say, who are you here for?
Yeah.
And if they don't say Hannah, I mean, that now they do. But I. Okay. Well, not everyone's you. Okay.
But
like,
also, I'm not, in your defense, I'm not shit-faced when I'm doing it. I'm not a drinker, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but even when I would go to work in New York, like on a rainy day, there'd be so many cars lined up. I would always get in the wrong fucking car. I'm a space cadet. Like I'm.
It's not uncommon to get in the wrong car.
Exactly.
It's not. I've known people. I've watched it happen to me in line. Like, oh, wrong one.
You know, yeah.
Pop right out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Josh Potter did it right out here in front of the studio one day. He goes, I got in a stranger's car. I go, you thought it was your Uber? He goes, I did. Yeah.
What the fuck
are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, and so, and now that there's. And they're now predators who know that, you know, and they're taking advantage. So I can't totally put it on Uber, but I will say that Uber has not done anything to prevent stuff like this happening. They don't have a lot of security. They know that this is happening. They're obviously aware, but they're not going to promote it, or they're not going to be like, we're fixing this, because then people
then
are going to
make aware of the problem.
Exactly.
And no one's going to want to use Uber. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's,
that's why I love that you're making people aware of this, because it is a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a big thing.
And what's sad is,
and
like,
for women, it's not like, I'm sure there are dudes out there robbing dudes or whatever, but I'm pretty sure there aren't female Uber drivers raping men when they pass out in the back of the car.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And
so where are you now mentally with everything? I mean, how's the rehab going? And I mean, it's, God, you're going through rehab off of this. Like, this is, I'm not making a joke here, but I would understand someone wanting a drink after an experience like this.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. The day after, I was like, or that day when we got back, my friend, I was like,
you're raped on your birthday.
Literally. I mean, it's like,
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's like a name of a memoir. Raped on my birthday. Birthday rape.
So what are you hoping for now? Are you trying to get to a place of just being clean and sober moving forward?
Yeah. And I think just I've just had a lot more patience with myself, and like everything used to be such a big deal. Like, I wanted to have a late night set by the time I was 30. I needed to be passed at this club before I was 30. I needed my own TV show. I needed to be SAG. Like, I needed to get this audition. Like, everything was like my career. Like, I need to be here. I need to be here. And then I was like going to LA, then going to Hawaii, and I got fucking raped and I ended up in rehab. Like, and in rehab, you can't do anything. You don't have access. I got access to my phone like 30 minutes a day, but my life was literally on hold, and I was like, I needed this. I really needed this. I needed to be here and just focus on myself and figure out. My dad said that to me. He was like, you know, you've lived your 20s, and good and bad things have happened. How do you want your 30s to look? And while you're in there, just think of who you want to be and like what kind of person you want to be and what you want out of this life. And then in the next 10 years. And that really helped me because I was like, yeah, I want to be successful, but I also want to have a family. Like, I want to be a functioning human who's well-rounded, as opposed to like, I need this by this time and having
these
times. I know,
we put so much pressure on ourselves for nothing.
For literally nothing.
Nothing.
And I'm like, I could have been dead. Like, I should be fucking dead. The fact that you didn't throw my body into the LA river.
You very well could have been thrown into the river.
Yeah. And it's like when I had such a fucking like, I should be dead. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go on a trip. Like, I'm going to Colombia. I'm going with a friend, which I am like, people are like, whoa, after you got raped, you're going to go to Colombia. That's what people have been saying to me. I'm like,
That's terrible to say.
They're like, oh my God, even after you got raped, you're going to go to Colombia. I'm like, why are you saying this to me? Anyway, but I'm also just like, I'd be like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. Or like, I cared so much about dating. And now I'm like, I got a dog. I'm like, I'm not drinking. If I don't want to do something, like, I'll have a commercial audition that I don't want to do. But before, I was like, oh, I have to do this. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it. Sorry. I'm tired. And I put priorities. Like, I'm seeing, you know, I've spent a lot of time with my parents and my brother, and like people that my closest friends have really been there for me and shown up in ways that I'm like so lucky that it's, I don't want to say like, it's like, so this is like the comic in me that just goes so dark that I'm like, you know, like that sex was life changing. Like but like,
I know it's so
fucked up, but like that's,
I understand how your mind works.
Yeah. It just did change my life. And like a part of me feels grateful he knocked me out and I don't remember it, because like then I would probably never be able to be intimate again. So
you
it's,
think you really think so?
I think so. Yeah. If I had remembered, I think it would have been it would be impossible.
Yeah.
And it's already hard for me to like trust people and whatever, but I think having that physical, you know, and I watch people in rehab dissociate, which is where you like completely, it's like your brain loses control of where it is and it goes to a different place and time. It's so crazy to see someone dissociate. And I'm so lucky that isn't happening to me. And like for everything that happened, I walked away. I thought I lost my license mm-hmm. at his house. And I was like, what if he's in a gang? What if he's, you know,
anything, whoever after you.
Exactly. And I was like, it has my parents' address on it. So I felt so guilty. I was like, I really hope that I didn't like put them in danger or something. And then I went to rehab and they go through all your stuff and they organize my backpack. And my license was at the top. Oh, and I was like, this is a sign from fucking God. Like, thank you. And it truly, and like I was in this sexual assault lawsuit with USC.
Huh?
With the gynecologist.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You were part of that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Hannah.
Yeah.
Did you talk about that last time?
I don't think so. I do that joke, but.
I know of the, yeah, that's what it was. You talked about it on stage at the Comedy Store Saturday night.
Yeah.
So there's a gynecologist who was what?
Molesting women for years. And the first time I got a pap, or I said I didn't want a pap smear. And he like made me have one and like did all this weird shit. I told all my friends and they're like, just forget about it. He's probably a weirdo. And I just never went back to him. And then I found out he was doing criminal activity. So I wasn't even going to sue at first, but I tried to report to the school and they're like, there's nothing we can really do for you. And I was like, then why am I reporting this? You asked for victims to come forward and now you're not doing anything for us? Because they were like, we can give you therapy at USC. And I was like, I live in New York. They're like, well, we can't pay for therapy in New York. And I was like, okay, fuck this.
So they can't do anything either.
Yeah. So then my friend.
Well, I get it. You're seeing all these doors slam every opportunity, including, can I just use your toilet? I've been raped. Nah.
Yeah, no.
Can I charge my phone? Nah.
Exactly. But this was like, so this was leading up to it. So then I joined Gloria Allred's, like, that whole thing. And during this time, I'm writing a essay on how getting assaulted at USC has affected my life. And then this shit happens. And I'm like, my lawyer and I are finishing this letter in rehab. So I'm like telling him on the phone. I'm like on this fucking rehab communal phone, like, I'm currently in rehab. Like, it's just like I'm finishing this letter to a lawyer to explain what my settlement should be and why this has fucked up my life and then I get out of rehab and find out how much money I'm getting. And I was like, it just felt like everything was like meant to be. Like, I just feel like, you know, not that everything's perfect, but...
Vindicated?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
what's the right word for how you feel now? Like, how are you feeling right now?
I mean, the fact that this guy's still on the streets, like, being back in LA, I thought, I've been back a couple times for a little bit.
That's right. Were you scared to come back? Is there any of that?
It's, like, scary because I have to take Lyft. I take Lyft now. Which is like, I don't know if it's better, but I just can't, like the way Uber responded and like their whole philosophy of hiring people and how they detach themselves. They make them contractors so they don't have to deal with this shit. Yeah. And it's just so gross to me that I was like, I can't even like deal with Uber. But I do now get into Lyft every time I call one. I'm just like, in LA, I feel so close to it. Like, I'm like, is this guy a driver? Like, is he on the road? Is he going to pick me up? Like,
man, and you have to, I feel so bad. You have to get in these cars again to live. I know.
And it's been hard, but it's been harder than I thought. But again, it's like being sober does help because I'm like, I think if I was drinking, I'd be drinking to the blackout point because but now I've just had to process it and deal with it, which is like, again, I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful like my parents paid for rehab, which is like, I know how that sounds. But I'm so like privileged that I got to do that. And I'm like so thankful. And I am now looking at my life like that. Like, yes, I'm upset that this guy is on the streets, but like,
You're alive.
Grateful I'm alive, and I'm grateful.
It's gratitude. That's everything. Yeah. Gratitude.
It's like when you look at things I never before this looked at things at what I had. I always looked at things at what I didn't have. And I still do that. I still catch myself being like, I want like this, you know, like I'll see someone get a late night set and I'm like, what the fuck? But I'm able to be like, that is so unimportant.
It's so unimportant.
It's like.
We were talking before. You said you're a Comedy Store regular, right? Nope. I've been at the Comedy Store since 1999 and I'm just in the system now. I'll be, hopefully if it happens next year or the year after, I'll be 50. I wonder what the oldest person is to ever get passed. I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you. That's maybe. A record, you know?
Maybe.
No, not.
But all of it happens if it happens when it's supposed to happen. And that's the hardest thing to fucking learn. Because also when you're, especially in this business, you're hungry. And you want to get that and that and that and that. And it's not that you're greedy or anything. It's like, all right, we got that. What's next?
Exactly.
Because if without a next, there's nothing else. And you got to keep going and going. So the hustle and the ego and all of that, you know, you're talking to the right person about that shit. I get that. Our game.
It's, but, yeah, exactly.
But this year off, year and a half of no stand-up through a pandemic, if that didn't put into perspective, like, you don't need this. And it's not important for life.
No. You know,
it is if it's your money. Sure, if it's your revenue stream, your job, it is. But in the end, you're here. You're alive. I mean, thank God you don't have AIDS or anything else from this fucking animal.
Yeah.
Like, and I hope they find that motherfucker.
Me too. I mean, that's like.
Will you be brave enough to go to court and stuff if they get him and go and have to face him if you do?
Oh, yeah. I like.
For your she said part of the
yeah,
fucking
exactly.
court? Yeah.
I do want to go and like, you know, I've heard horror stories about people who. I know it's going to be harder than I'm, like, imagining it because I'm, like, I want to fucking look this guy in the eye and be like, because he
– yeah.
The fact the next day he was so confused that I was like, you raped me. And in his mind, he was like, no, I didn't. Like, he had somehow, like, justified in his head that what he did was not incorrect.
Right.
And me calling him out, he was like, why – you know, like, he looked scared. And I'm like, this fucking – this is, but it's also, he was clearly taught this by someone. Oh, go wait outside 1212 Santa Monica, or go wait outside the bungalow. Go wait outside Delilah. We're all, like, there are young girls who get drunk there
wasted.
All the time. Wasted.
Falling down, coming out.
Yes.
I've seen it. You see it when you drive by up the Sunset Strip, like, oh, man.
Exactly. I mean, and the fact that I survived, honestly, one of my friends goes, aren't you a little old to get raped? I was like,
oh, my God. Who said that?
One of my best friends. But
what
she was
the
like,
fuck?
She was like, you just hear it like in college and like early 20s, but 29. I was like, yeah, I got it. I'll have you know I recently had Botox, okay? I lost some weight. I'm looking pretty good right now. But what was it? I guess the point is like, yeah, these guys, he was taught this. So the point that a lot of people don't want to, obviously I understand women do not want to publicize it, whatever, but it should be known that, and it sucks because I'm like, I was with a guy friend. So you think like stick with a friend, all the safety.
Drop him off last.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not now, definitely. Mm-hmm. Or leave, always be with someone.
Or just go back to his place and then take another one from there with him, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what should have been done. But
fuck, I'm so sorry. Listen, I want to say this, though. I do really appreciate you coming on and talking about probably the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life and bringing awareness because, look, it is. I'm telling all of you out there, check your plates, check the make and model, ask who they're there for, look at the person's face, all of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy tell the joke about it. I had a guy, and we were coming back from All Things Comedy Festival in Phoenix a few years ago, and supposed to be like a white dude in an SUV, and this Latino dude pulled up with a pickup truck, didn't match anything. He's like, get in. I'm like, no, bro, I'm not fucking getting in. Like, you're gonna bury me in the desert. You know, that's always what I think anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, check your shit.
That's so scary. That's the thing is like they, and a lot of times they don't look like their photo. I'm like,
yeah.
Is this you?
Right.
It's like, and I had an Uber, this was years ago, but this was when Uber, this was like 2016. I was in Sacramento for, I was doing a featuring at whatever that club is in Sacramento. And,
Punchline.
No, it was the worst club than that.
I know which one you're talking about, by the train tracks.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Train track club. That was me.
Yeah.
And I got picked up by this guy, and I asked him to drop me off at the grocery store because I was going to go back to the apartment they were setting me up in. And he was like, oh, I'll just drive you back. And this is early, and he seemed like a nice guy. And I was like, okay. And he turned the Uber thing off. And I was like, oh, my God, this is like, at least it's not charging me. But like, I then started to get nervous. He goes, oh, are you a crazy girl? Are you crazy? And I was like, you do cocaine? And I was like, no. I was like, I guess I take an Adderall every now and then. And he goes, oh, you're crazy? And then he pulls out a gun, cocks it, and goes, because I know how to handle crazy girls. And I go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. No, that's not what I meant. He's like, just kidding. And then puts it back under his seat. And he drops me off at home. My friend's boyfriend had to come to my condo. And, like, literally, I pushed the couch against the door and made him sleep on the couch. And, and I called
Holy
Uber.
Shit.
Yeah, I called Uber help, and she was like, well, was he kidding?
Why? He's got a gun in my face. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. And it was like, I was in the back seat, and but it was like such a weird experience that I never really reported or never did anything because I was like, who do you tell? Like, and they didn't really do anything because they didn't really know what to do. And I was like, okay. And so it's shit like that, like, I mean, I was fine, and he dropped me off, and like, you know, he's a driver, so I assume that a lot of drivers do have guns. Like, not, I mean, depends where you are. But like,
you don't need to show it off and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was like, I guess maybe he was just like trying to be funny because he knew, I told him he picked me up from the comedy club, but it wasn't funny and it wasn't a good joke and I'm not justifying it, but I didn't report it because I was like, who do I report this to?
Well, you did try to, and then the lady said, was he kidding?
Yeah.
And that's the end of that report.
Exactly. I'm like, okay. But it's like shit like this it's happening all the time. And I think, I don't know, it just makes me really sad that they're, you know, it's happening every night to a girl.
Every night.
Yeah.
More than one.
Yeah. And you're
getting a call while you're going back to try to identify your rapist. Jesus
exactly.
Christ.
And the amount of women this has happened, it's not just LA. It's Miami is a big spot. Chicago's a big spot.
I'm sure New York probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm sure New York is a spot too, but a big spot. But for some reason, New York feels, because not everyone has a car. So it just feels so accessible in something like LA or Miami because everyone has a car. So it's like, what are you going to do tonight? Well, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go rape a girl because it's that easy.
I see. Yeah.
And
God.
It's just terrifying. And it's terrifying because I, like, yes, I was a big drinker and like, yes, I was sloppy, whatever. But like, I know girls like me and like, there are a lot of girls like me and I'm not saying they all need to get sober or whatever. Everyone lives their own life. But like, it's just so easy to happen and you don't think it's going to happen to you. And like, I do have so much privilege and I'm so lucky, but like, that does not stop like the worst things. I was like, grew up in a cul-de-sac. Like I did grow up like very safe and like, you think nothing's ever going to happen to you. And then it does. And it just like, it's terrifying. And it's just so, it all happens so fast. And the fact that I'm still alive is like, again, I just like, I'll see shit on the news. Like that Gabby Petito story, the girl that went missing. And then I read this article, like the 15 most interesting people that went missing or the 10 most interesting people. Of course, I clicked on that because I'm sick. And 7 of the 10 people were girls that looked like me. You know, and it's like the Natalie Hall. Natalie Holloway, and I'm so lucky that he didn't just throw me in a dumpster.
You are.
I think about that. That's what gives me panic attacks.
And also,
not to have one right now. I'm like,
not to make it worse for you, but you don't remember being raped, so you wouldn't remember being killed. That's just lights out at that point in that parking lot, and you just never wake up. You don't wake up in that house. You don't have this conversation. You don't talk to your parents. I mean, that's
what's crazy is like when I woke up, my body was like, like it was like fighting still. And I was like, and that's this feeling of like, I need to be doing more with my life and I need to be helping more people. And like, granted, I've been mostly in therapy and not like, you know, you make
you're
all these.
You're 29.
Yeah.
You're a baby. You got a long way to go yet. And I'm glad you want to help. I'm glad you want to help people with it, you know?
Yeah. I just think that like, it was like such a terrible experience and so almost unbelievable. And the fact that it's happening every single night is what like breaks my, like, it sounds so cliche, cheesy to be like, it breaks my heart, but it really like makes me sick. And the fact that girls feel like they can't tell anyone or they don't, and that's, makes me so sad because if I hadn't gone to rehab, I would still be drinking much heavier. I would be a mess because I wouldn't have processed it and I would have swallowed it. And like one thing I learned in rehab too is there's this book called The Body Takes the Score. And it's about how trauma lives in the body and not the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a traumatic massage where this woman was giving me a massage and she was like, knew nothing about me. She just was a masseuse at this place. But this woman told me she was kind of a medium. And so she was pushing. She was like, did you get into a relationship too fast recently that went too fast and got that went bad quickly? And I was like, yes. And she's like, oh, I can feel that under your foot. And then like I had been, you know, assaulted before and she was rubbing the back of my thigh. And she was like, have you been assaulted before? I was like, how do you know this? She was like, "It different points in your body have different pressures. So even if you think like, oh, I processed this, oh, I'm okay with it inside your body, you might not have. So like when people have a certain pain, they think, oh, it's because I've been working out or, oh, I've been doing this. But it could be something psychological.
Wow.
So that was, I think, the most interesting thing to take because I would be like, that was my whole life. I'm fine. It doesn't matter. I'll be okay. But truthfully, that's impossible because my body's hanging.
Yeah, you're taking so many bullets until you can't anymore.
Exactly.
You're at your limit.
Exactly. So it was, I still feel like I'm coming. It was 6 months ago, but I do feel like I've come a long ways. Like
I mean, for you to openly just, I walked up to you, hugged you and said hello and you just let it out. I mean, at the belly room on that little landing up there. I mean, you've definitely come a ways to at least talk to me about it. I hadn't even seen you.
Yeah. I guess it's just weird because people have been like, how's your year been? And I'm like, not great, you know, like been better. And it is my life. It's been like all consuming. But again, I do have this outlook that I don't think I would, because I was the type of drinker, I could have drank for the rest of my life. I could, like, it's reckless, but it's like a drunk, sloppy girl. Like, and I needed something like this to fucking shake me awake and be like, what the fuck are you doing, bitch? You're wasting so much of your life and I was just pissing away everything I was given. And I have been given so much in this life. And the fact that I almost lost it at fucking literally at 29 years is like such a shame. And I used to say that about, I mean, not that I'm like comparing myself to Amy Winehouse, the genius talent of wasted potential. But like, I always said, oh, she wasted her potential. Like she had so much. And then I think of myself, like I'm wasting my potential. And yeah, I'm not doing heroin, but I might as well be. I almost was fucking dead. And that's the thing about going to rehab too. People will be like, oh, they went to rehab for this reason. They're not that bad. People be like, oh, well, they went to rehab because, you know, they have a real problem. And it's like, I hate that shit because I'm like, everyone has a fucking problem.
Yeah.
And
how it affects them doesn't matter to you. Alcohol could affect someone at a level 2, but you at a level 10.
Exactly.
And the flip with weed or coke or something like that, I can do it once a year and not be, someone's like, I'm doing it nightly.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's in... There is such a stigma to going to rehab too, which I've found out. And I've always felt that I never want to be an alcoholic because that just feels like I lost. I can't control. And I'm such a control freak. I'm a perfectionist. So I'm like, I want to be able to control how much I drink. But my brain does not work that way. So the only control I can have is by not drinking at all, which sucks because, like, you know, I was in a sorority. I, like, love to party. But...
I love you. I really do.
The party's over. Chelsea Skidmore, Steven Randolph? They've been telling me to go to rehab since I was, like, 24. They're like, go to rehab. But I called them at rehab. And Steven's in the background. I love him. He's like, party's over, Hannah. Party's over. Shut it down. I was like, thank you, Steven.
Well, listen, I know this was very difficult and uncomfortable to share. But thank you for coming on and doing that. I really love you to death. I
love you too.
I have a great connection with you. And I'm so sorry to walk up and hear that. And then it just kept getting worse. And here you are now sharing it. So thank you for real.
No, thanks for, I mean, I hope this helps, you know.
It's definitely going to help people. It will definitely help people. And I hate to say, but my guess is probably going to be that we're going to see a few women in the comments who might be brave enough to say that this has probably happened to them.
Yeah.
And that's going to suck too.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing light to this because again, as a guy, I'm just worried I'm going to get robbed or killed. I'm never worried they're going to rape me. My God. So thank you. You're really strong.
Thanks.
Will you please promote whatever you'd like again?
I'm promoting Lyft. I'm promoting yellow taxis. Rape whistles, and that's my merch. It's rape whistles and fucking Valtrex.
Your podcast.
My podcast. Yeah, I've been talking a lot about what happened, and it's a different life when you're not drinking. But you don't drink.
I drink, but I'm not a drinker. You know, I can drink a half a beer and leave it at the table and be like, I don't want that.
So lucky.
Yeah. I don't know if it's lucky, but I guess it is.
It's kind of lucky.
I don't know. I talk to people on this show and they're like, if I have one, I'm having 20. And I go, I understand. I get it now because I've talked to so many people who say my body doesn't shut that. I don't have a stop or an off switch for alcohol, or some people are food, you know.
Yeah.
So – I get it, but thank you for coming on.
No, thanks for having me.
I really do appreciate it. And as always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week. Stay safe out there.